Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
Hi, I'm Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. I want to personally thank you for listening and subscribing over the past year. I know you're out there because I keep seeing my numbers go up. But more importantly, thanks to you, my listeners, I've been in the iTunes top podcast for business and marketing in the top 100 pretty consistently, and even for several weeks was peaking at number 4. I want to really thank you for the opportunity to provide information and insights to you, and I really appreciate you joining me each week at the show. Since we're almost at the end of a decade, I thought I'd do something a little bit different. I'm going to tell you stories which are on the lighter side of life. Now, hopefully, I'll make you smile, reflect on your own life a bit, and think about your family and your friends, and of course, where your business is today and where you want to head in 2020. While this show is about business, businesses are made up of people. And of course, as people and in life, we have stories. These stories in many situations make us who we are today. So sit back, relax, and I hope you enjoy. The first one that pops into mind is a recent one. A friend of mine was redoing his backyard, and when they moved the refrigerator out from his casita, there was this large nest with two beautiful round eggs. Now, the workers were a little surprised, and they called him out, and he ran out and started looking at this nest, and he was bewildered. What could make these perfectly round white eggs? And they started to think about it. Was it a lizard? Was it a snake? And as the frustration and the curiosity started to build, one of the workers bent down and picked the egg up and said, "Ah, it's a ping pong ball." Now, that's pretty funny if you think about it. I'm sure you've been in situations where you were a little bewildered. I remember one time we brought in a bag that had been sitting in our garage, and the next thing I know, I had two scorpions wandering around the house. So you just never know. Ping pong balls or real scorpions, when they're going to come around. Now, a few years back, when I had an advertising agency called Open Minds, we were fortunate to have an ice cream account, a large national chain of ice cream parlors. And on occasion, we traveled to their headquarters for meetings, which typically started around 8 o'clock in the morning. On this particular occasion, operations asked us to come down to their tasting room because they had some new flavors they wanted us to try. I was excited because I love ice cream. Ice cream and pizza, my two favorite things in life. Some people would say ice cream all the time might be too much, but not me. I love it. But here we were, 8 o'clock in the morning, eating ice cream. What could be better? I was in heaven. Frankly, I had a big smile on my face and ready to take on the day of meetings. What a way to start the day. Well, about 2 hours in, you might have guessed, I was not feeling so well. I started squirming in my seat. Stomach was tossing and turning, but I didn't complain. No, no. I didn't want the client to know that eating their ice cream was making me feel a little sick. Lessons learned. No matter how much you love something, maybe moderation and the time of the day should be a consideration. That story makes me think of another one, another situation where I was consulting with an advertising agency and we were pitching a chain of Japanese fast food restaurants. Now, usually going into meetings, you prepare, right? You did some research on the client, et cetera, et cetera. And we did that. But we realized about an hour before the meeting, the one thing we actually had not done was actually eat the food. So we had some time. We all ran across the street. And we wanted to experience this food before we sat down with the client. Now, sounds like a good plan. It was a good plan. However, like the ice cream, 45 minutes into the meeting, one of my teammates excused themselves from the meeting. A few minutes later, so did another, and then it hit me. Just like the ice cream, I felt it. The lunch was not sitting very well. Now, you might be asking, did we win the account? No, we bowed out. We never got to that point. Based on our reaction to the food, we thought maybe it was better to pass. Now, my father, and if you've listened to this show, was an episode a few months back called The Number One Plumber in the Number Two Industry. And it was about me talking about growing up and the lessons learned from my father. But one of the things my father always used to say to me when I started getting into the advertising business is, I should have been in movies. I could have been a movie star. I'm the lover of country music, and this was just one thing in my life that I know I could do. So when the first opportunity came along as a young marketing executive to shoot a commercial, I found a role for my dad. He played a distributor telling the customers, no problem, we can get you that product in about 6 months. Now, obviously, that's not what the client wanted to hear because they wanted to know that they were going to get that product the next day. So we finally got the scene set up. It was a single camera shot. And man, I had never seen my father so tongue-tied and flustered and frankly sweating profusely. He just could not get it. And 23 takes later, he finally did. The commercial actually was a success. It was kind of innovative. We actually did a commercial for the oil tool industry, and this was a few years back. But lessons learned. Family members, sometimes you should not include in your commercials, just in case. Now, my youngest played baseball, good at it too, and got to D1 before he got hurt. But when he was around 13 or 14 playing travel ball, this particular summer it was extremely hot. And one of the moms said she read that in hot areas, kids would take frozen cabbage leaves and wear them under their hats. Now, I know what you're thinking. Sounds pretty ridiculous. Stay with me now, because you heard it, cabbage leaves. Now, as you can imagine, that raised a lot of eyebrows, got a ton of laughs when the mom showed up with a cooler full of frozen leaves. Everyone put one on and, of course, looked ridiculous, but made the bonding and the camaraderie of the team and the parents that afternoon was just one to remember. So there was a situation that, frankly, was hysterical. If you can imagine seeing a 13-year-old boy with a cabbage leaf sticking below the rim of his hat, I think maybe you've got a smile on as well. Now, thank goodness for Google Translation. Making a long story very short, I recently discovered, about in the past 4 years, that I had an extended family in Italy. My father's father left when he was about 15, but never told anyone he had a brother and sister. Maybe at the time, when he was a kid, it was just maybe not important from that, coming from Europe at that time in the early 1900s. But nobody ever knew until my brother discovered it when he was looking to become an Italian citizen. So on my first trip to Italy, we contacted them and they came and picked us up. And it was great. It was my wife and my sister and we met us in Rome. It was about a 45-minute drive to a town called Scrugola. Very beautiful and historical. So the outside and the cobblestone streets, I mean, it's all just gorgeous. But you walk into an apartment and, of course, it's all modern. The problem was my cousin, who's also named Angelo, didn't speak English. And nor did anyone else. So on that ride, it was very interesting. Now, I'm a New York Italian. And so if you know a full-blooded Italian folks, you know we like to talk with our hands. I mean, you could actually get hurt if you're in a room full of Italians and we're all talking because you could get struck in the face by waving hands. So here we took off. And for the first 10 or 15 minutes, I noticed I was doing the Google translation. He was speaking into it. It was translating. We were doing that. By the time we reached Scrugola, we were just talking. Now, I'm sure we weren't speaking English or Italian, but just through the hand gestures and the facial gestures, we managed to communicate. And we did that for the rest of the day, and it was just an incredible experience to know that you could just communicate and people could understand you if you took the time, spoke slowly, and really tried to visually communicate what you were doing. But Google Translation saved my life, especially on all the other trips throughout various countries in Europe. So if you are traveling, make sure you have that app on your phone because it will come in handy. Speaking of traveling, a few years ago, I had the opportunity to go to the Galapagos Islands. Beautiful. If you should have this on your bucket list, this is an unbelievable experience. I mean, if you've seen pictures of the giant tortoises I mean, these things are 150 years old or more, and they're just massive. And the seals, they're everywhere, and the rock lizards, and the lizards that are about the size of a small dog, as well as all these marine lizards, are just everywhere. It's so pristine. They take such good care of these islands, and you're always on a guided tour with somebody, so it was really fantastic. And we had such great experiences. Up close to nature, it was absolutely wonderful. But we also got a chance to swim, and swim with turtles. Now, that was probably one of my highlights. I had many highlights, but that was really cool because I was all over the place, and I had my GoPro on my wrist, and I was filming everywhere I went, and I have all these shots of these beautiful turtles swimming around with me. And on this one particular occasion, if you know me, I'm a little skittish. I remember the first time I saw Jaws, and it stuck with me forever, and so I am a little afraid of the water. Okay, don't tell anybody, but I am a little afraid. So here I am, though, and if you've ever swam with me and I had a mask on, like when I'm in Hawaii, I'm looking around constantly for something that I don't want to see. On this particular occasion, I'm underwater and I'm filming this turtle, and it's absolutely wonderful. And I turned, and there was an eyeball about a foot. It was massive, looked like a foot giant size eyeball staring me in the face. And if you were to watch the GoPro, you would have seen me come shooting out of the water, screaming with the snorkel still on my mouth, so a lot of garbling, just freaking out, and you catching all this on the GoPro. It's just crazy. And then it dawned on me, it was a sunfish. So I went back down and I managed to capture a good chunk of it on video. But man, oh man, did that scare the you-know-what out of me. Unbelievable, being that close and being that surprised to a fish that big. It was just crazy. But those were experiences down there. You turn around, you're walking through the islands, and there's a giant lizard just walking next to you. But there was also one other particular situation that I really felt really cool. This little yellow bird came up and landed right next to me, right below my feet. They're not afraid of you, right? Because they're protected. And so I was videoing this little bird. Okay, and I got bored and I started to walk along. And the bird actually followed me. It hopped along with me for at least 10 feet. It was so cute. It was unbelievable, and I happened to catch all that on video. And the last situation was, we were told, you know, stay a good 3-4 feet away from the animals. And this particular group, there was a grouping of seals, and there was a couple baby seals. And I have this on video. It's really cool. This baby seal just kept walking up to me, and I kept having to move back because I wanted to be respectful for what they told us. So I've got this incredible video of this seal coming almost literally up to my camera and allowing me to get that kind of a close-up with him. Unbelievable, spectacular situation, and something I'll never forget. Have you ever jumped out of a perfectly good airplane? I have. Now, it was an experience of a lifetime. Now, this was many years ago. I was about 19 years old, and my friends and I decided it would be really fun to go parachuting. Now, we went, we found a place. I was still in New York at the time, and we went on a Friday night to be trained. How we were going to, you know, jump out of the plane, you know, pull our chutes, tuck and roll, all that good stuff. Now, the first mistake was going on a Friday night and having the entire night to think about what we were about to do in about 10 or 12 hours. It probably was the dumbest thing we ever did, because all we could do was talk about it and think about it and starting to do what ifs, right? So we were getting a little nervous, a little scared, but you know, we were going to brave it. None of us were going to be the one that chickened out. So we went, there was three of us. And we get to the airport, and we're walking around, and we're getting our jumpsuits on, and we see this guy, and he's on crutches, and he's got a book under his arm, and it's literally, it says jump book on it, jump log. And it's like, oh my God, this guy hurt himself, but he must be a real professional. And we went over and started talking to him, and he had broke his leg on the first jump. So you can imagine, now we're even more scared. And so we go out and we watch the group before us come down. It was in November, so it was cold and it was windy. And the first person lands, hits the ground, doesn't tuck and roll, but is dragged by the chute through the wind. And so they got a nice little ride. The second one came down, did a face plant. And the third one, fortunately, landed well. So now it's our turn to get in this plane. And I'm the number two guy, and my friend Mike is the number one guy. And so this is the situation. It wasn't like just jumping out of the plane. You had to, it was a small plane. We actually had to climb out onto the wing. So Mike is up there for a really long time talking away, and he looks like he's scared. I'm freaking out. There's no way I'm going to do it. And boom, Mike jumps. I look out the window. Now, what I realized now was, of course, it was the perspective of the plane, but he looked like he was 100 miles in the wrong direction. So I'm really scared, and they call my name. Come on up. You're next. Now, I'm shaking my head. Absolutely not. I'm not doing it. Oh, yeah, come on. You got to do it. We can't bring you back down. So we're debating this, and the next thing I know, the guy's got me in the doorway with one arm and one leg out on the wing. I don't know how he did it. I was just maybe so frightened I was just being obedient at the time. So he's got me out there, and next thing you know, he's telling me on three, and I'm sitting there going, absolutely not. I am not letting go of this thing. I'm got to take me down. It's on the wing. He hits me in the back of the leg, and I let go. For whatever amount of time it was before my chute was opened, I don't even know how it all happened. It went by so fast. My heart was pounding, coming out of my throat. It was crazy. But when that chute opened, everything got calm. It was so pristine and beautiful up there, just floating. And oh, it was an absolutely incredible experience. So we see the target. I see the target on the ground, and I'm, you know, moving my cords, heading down for this, and the wind picks up. Next thing you know, I'm going back up into the air, and now I'm starting to go across the runway, and I can see some people kind of trailing me on the ground, you know, telling me to do things, which I couldn't hear what they were saying. And so I cross the runway, and I'm heading to this field. Beautiful, wide open field. This is great. Well, as I started to come down, those bushes turned out to be trees. So just like World War II movie, right? The guys jump out, they land in the trees, they're dangling. Well, that was me. I am dangling in a tree, and it is about 6 feet off the ground, so not too high up, but high up enough that I look like, you know, I just was in a World War II movie. And it was crazy. My head was hurting, and later found out that I must have twisted and I broke this limb with my helmet. But it was really cool. And then we all went out to have lunch, and then I realized that I was talking kind of funny, and I had a concussion from the hitting the branch. But it was just a really memorable experience. About 6 or 7 hours later, I noticed that my entire side of my leg was just burning and throbbing. It was crazy. So I got my roommate, I dropped my drawers, and I had 9 thorns just buried into my leg. And so obviously the tree was a thorn tree. Got them pulled out, you know, got the medical taken care of. But that one experience was just something. Here I am talking about it how many years later. It was just an absolutely incredible experience. And so I always think sometimes of what are those things that we push ourselves for. It's like the Galapagos Islands, actually getting in the water, knowing that those waters are shark infested, but I did it, and I forced myself to overcome that fear. Now, one thing you might not know about me, and most likely you don't, I've been playing music most of my life. Started back when I was in fourth grade playing trumpet, and then moved on to baritone horn. I took number 3 in the all-county competition for baritone horn. Moved into high school and started playing drums in a band. Then eventually played band and drums and bands for many, many years. Up until recently, actually, only about 5 years ago that I stopped playing in bands. It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of great times. But one that sticks out to me was the opportunity to play with 80s legends Eddie Money, Mike Reno from Loverboy, Alex Lickerwood from Santana, and Jamie Jameson from Survivor. Now, this was at a charity event, and the drummer in our band at the time also worked for a golf club company, and Eddie Money was one of his sponsors. And each year they'd put on this big charity event. And Tom and Eddie were talking one day, and they got this great idea that we would become the house band for this event, and we would learn all of their songs. So we all accepted very enthusiastically, and we started to learn about 35 songs from these guys. That created a lot of stress and a lot of angst among us as the band members. But as we got close to the event, we started getting phone calls from some of the managers. Hey, what key are you playing two tickets to Paradise for Eddie? I don't know. We're playing it in C. Eddie doesn't sing in C anymore. You need to. So all of a sudden, we found ourselves transposing all these songs right at the last minute. So when we showed up at the Iron Door Saloon and were preparing to play for that evening, we were nervous and excited and nervous. But the guys, you know, Eddie and Mike and Al, they were stars, right? They were in the green room. They didn't want to have anything to do with us. And, you know, they would just come out and sing with us and they would leave. So there was really no interaction. So while it was a really fun night, it wasn't as exciting as we thought it might be. On the second day, there was the golf tournament, which we all played in. A lot of fun. That evening, when we showed up, it was a completely different story. The boys had maybe had a few too many, and they were really fun. They were really joyous. We were in the green room with them, taking pictures, getting autographs, and just having this absolutely incredible time getting to play with these legends. And it was just an incredible experience that I'll never forget. So if you're a musician out there and you've played in the clubs and in bars, and you know what it's like to have that feeling, and then to actually be the band for these guys that make a living playing music, it was pretty incredible and something that I'll never forget. Thank you for joining me at the cafe today and listening to these stories. Happy holidays, and I look forward to 2020. I hope you enjoyed the little lighter side of maybe a little fun, something a little bit different as we relax this holiday season and head into 2020. I'll be back in January with more business shows, a lot of great guests coming up, a lot of great insights to help you as you work towards your business and the planning aspects, and look for insights that can help you continue to grow your business. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, and view my show videos, or sign up to receive future information at theponzigroup.com, or certainly connect with me on LinkedIn. Thank you again for listening. I really appreciate it, and join me next year for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.